love to get in this book, and I wish I could teach it as good as I have refreshed in my mind. But sometimes what goes in your mind, from your heart to your mind, and then you try to put it in words, you lose a little bit of it. So we have to really depend on the Holy Spirit of God. Father, thank you again for this day. Lord, thank you for this book. Just reading today, reports that seem like that we're headed into an age where churches are leaving the teaching of the book, per se, and moving towards that which satisfies the flesh the most. There is certainly a mentality today that if the flesh is not satisfied, people won't go to church. But Lord, they may not go to assembly somewhere or another to say, unless the flesh is satisfied. But I believe God's people go to church when the Word of God's taught. I just believe that. And I thank you for that. And I pray tonight that we that are here, it won't be a waste of our time. It'll be that which we can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and something we'll get to help us stand in these last days until we see Jesus Christ face to face. And it won't be long. And Lord, we sure need the touch of this book on our hearts and life as we go through this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we had got down. We were talking about identifying the conflict. This is a cosmic conflict, and we've been talking about identifying that conflict. And last week we talked about, we had 3 points under this particular section. And the first one was simply this, that Satan heads up a kingdom, what is called a kingdom of darkness. Now, when you talk about darkness and light, we know light dispels darkness. The world doesn't understand the spiritual side of this, that spiritual ignorance is darkness as far as God is concerned. God is light, and everything about him is light. Any rebellion against him, against that light, is darkness trying to dispel the light. But light always dispels darkness. And so the world gets confused because they think that since light dispels darkness, and you're talking about God and darkness, that since they're in light physically, that they have the right to, and the mentality to make decisions, even what God is supposed to be and not be. But we have to understand symbolically, darkness is symbolic of that which is ignorance. It's spiritual ignorance. That is about God. That is that God in the spiritual world is completely obliterated to people's minds sometimes because they don't believe in it, and therefore, where light dispels darkness, God's light will dispel darkness, but there's the will of man. And the will of man is strong enough that if he rebels against the light of God, then his darkness of his heart will hide and keep the light from shining in to that particular heart. But they can't rationalize that. They think, well, light dispels darkness. God is really light. Then he's just automatically going to bring darkness, bring light to us. And he is bringing it to us. But there's the will of man. Unless a person by faith receives it, they'll be in darkness until they die and go to hell, and then it'll still be darkness the rest of their life, even though they'll be find themselves in that situation. The Bible used the word darkness as a symbol of ignorance. Now, I said last week, and I believe this is true from the depth of my heart, that this is where one rules by ignorance, not in ignorance. In other words, this world's smarter than it's ever been. In the secular world, education, people are smarter than they've ever been. When it comes to that in knowledge, they're smarter than they've probably ever been. Not that we hadn't had smart people in the past, but there's more people that are smarter now than you had in the past because of where we have come to in the field of knowledge in our particular day. So it's not that they're in ignorance because they're smart, but they rule by ignorance because they refuse the light that God gives from himself. And so what happens, Satan rules by keeping his subjects in ignorance of God and his kingdom. And Satan fears their mind with lies and deception. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, it is the blinds, the eyes or the minds of those people who don't want to see that truth. So in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The trust of the Lord, that's what this means. The trust of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. Now, you know, Psalm 14 says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. For a person to listen to the instruction of this book, which is light shining in a dark world, and they reject that light, God calls them fools. And you know what happened today? If we would dare say that in the secular world, don't call me a fool. You don't have a right to do that. I don't have a right, but God does. And that's what he calls them. And he said simply this, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Light represents knowledge. And here's what it's about God. The light of God represents knowledge. If you look with me in John chapter 3, here is how we find John writing about this. In John chapter 3, and down about verse 19, he said, and this is condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now, if you go back to John chapter 1, you'll find how that light is. He says in verse 4, chapter 1, in him was life. In who? In Jesus Christ. Who is the Word? How do I know that? Verse 1 and 2 says he's the Word, and you get down and you look in, when you look down in verse 11, 12, 13, and 14, and 15, you find he's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He's the one that came unto his own. He said that then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see in verse 14. So in him, that is in Jesus Christ, was life. Now watch this. That life that was him, he says also in that verse, was the light of men. So this life is the light of men. And it's this light, which is the life, the light of men, that shines in dark places. And your heart was dark one time. And God shone his light upon your heart. And then you open up and let that light shine in. You begin to travel a new direction, a new way at that particular time. Again, he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then he said, that light shineth, watch in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness. This life, which is of Jesus, the light of men, shineth in darkness, he said, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, you heard me say a few minutes ago that light dispels darkness in the secular world. You come in here, it can be dark as pit where you can't even see your hand in front of your face and cut a light on it and to go just that fast. Would you not believe that? Don't you thank God for lights? I thank God for lights because I remember when you didn't have lights, you had lanterns. You see, are you that old? Yes. I remember if you left out of town, a municipality somewhere or another, more than likely got a few blocks out of town, they didn't have electric lights unless it was on a main highway somewhere or another running. Most of them, if you got off of that, you had fireplaces and you had lanterns. You thought we always had electric lights, didn't you? But what I'm saying to you is light, I don't care where you're at, in a dark world, the secular world, you cut a light on and the light would dispel the darkness. Well, that's what God gives symbolic to his word knowledge from his word comes from. Because his light, which is the life of men, he's the life of men, which is the light of men. It's shining in a dark world. But the moment that we, by faith, receive the message of God's Son, that light opens a whole new territory in our life and mind. If we put the wall there and keep the wall there and refuse to let the light shine because God has given us a will, and it amazes me how powerful that is, you know what? God could tear that will down if he's mind to. But in his promise, he's not going to do that. Because he's not making robots, he's making children. He's not making robots, he's making sons and daughters, which have come by birth because they benefited from that which is to the world. And you've heard me say before, you know, the gospel is to the world, but it only benefits those who trust in Jesus Christ. So there is the light of grace, there's the light of mercy, there's the light of forgiveness, there's the light of salvation, which is the life of God, which in turn brings, as he says here, was the light of men. This life of God is our light. Without Jesus Christ, you have not this light. The life of God in Jesus Christ is our light. And therefore, where our heart was dark, God has given us a great revelation and manifestation of understanding. Satan was the architect, and he was the instigation of Adam and Eve's fall. As a matter of fact, their fall ushered in a counterfeit kingdom that the Bible calls the kingdom of darkness. Now, we're talking about kingdom, the kingdom of God. We looked at that. The kingdom of heaven, we looked at that, the separation of the two. And what God is trying to do is kingdom of God into kingdom of heaven. But the Bible refers also, that's the kingdom of light. But the Bible refers also that there's a kingdom of darkness. And it has to do with Satan and his kingdom. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10, you can go there. When that fifth vial was put out on the beast, it said his kingdom was full of darkness. And so again, it was completely blinded against the things that God himself was doing. Though Satan himself knows that God is light and God is life, but at the same time, he's doomed forever. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, he says, he that hated to hate one's brother is to walk in darkness. Hatred is walking. Isn't it an amazing thing that you and I have the light of God because we have the life of God? And he said, a person can, if you have hatred in your heart, you're still walking in darkness. You're manifesting to who God is in your life, but the world can't see it then. They can only see the hatred, and when they see that, that's darkness. And the Bible describes it in a lot of other ways. To disobey God's disobey God creates a disturbance, and it also initiates a time of darkness. Every time you and I obey anything, I don't care if we know it or don't know it, we obey what God says to do, we're manifesting a darkness and a light of our heart. And don't you know this? The world will see that more than the light sometimes. You know how I improved that? You remember back a few years ago, I took a piece of paper and I held it up and I had a dot on that piece of paper. And I held that up and I asked, do you see anything? And you see the dot? But when you have a little teeny dot with a big white piece of paper, it don't show up too much unless it's pointed out, right? And did you know on that piece of paper, most of the time people just saw the piece of paper. And although he had the whole big sheet of paper that was pure white, that little dot always could be seen. And you know what you said? I see the dot. Well, that's what the world sees in darkness. We may be fully light in a lot of places, but one little place of darkness, walking in that, which dispels a little bit of light, where light should dispel the darkness, but that little dot dispels the light, and the world sees only that. Don't see the rest of your Christian life. We don't see the rest of what God has done in us. One little thing can throw the world completely in reverse about who we are and what we are. Though we may have 99.9% of our life Christian, one little place will cause the world to see the darkness, which is rather than the light. So now there is darkness and light. 1 John 4 and 5, we just read that in John chapter 3. And down about verse 19, I read to you then this condemnation, the light's come in the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth we evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? That his deeds may be manifest, that they're wrought in God. He's not ashamed of his deeds when they're manifest in the light. So that now there's darkness and light. In other words, if I look at darkness and light in the secular world, everybody understands that. But when I look at the spiritual world and I see darkness, I see ignorance, and I see light, I see knowledge. That's the two differences. In the kingdom of God, darkness is ignorance about God, and light is knowledge about God. And therefore, it's the knowledge of God that dispels the darkness when it comes to the things that's against God. And we have a word, his word that documents those things for us. These are opposite to each other in existence, in continued conflict with each other. Just like darkness and light are constantly at each other, ignorance and the knowledge of God is constantly at battle with each other. They cannot exist together. Lightness and darkness cannot exist together. Amen? Because light would dispel darkness. Well, ignorance and in the spiritual world, ignorance about God and knowledge about God cannot exist together. If we accept the knowledge about God, ignorance will dispel, just like light dispels darkness. On the other hand, if we wallow in the ignorance and refuse the knowledge, then we will walk in a lighted world physically with darkness in our heart and mind when it comes to God. And that's what this conflict's about. Most people don't understand the conflict that's going on in their lives, and even a lot of children of God don't understand that conflict. Because we think, because we trust Christ, that should make everything, you know, where it's okay. And the mentality of the day is, if you're saved, that's all that really matters. Don't really matter how you live, it's just a matter if you got Jesus Christ or not. And we're going to find out light manifests itself in knowledge, not only how to be saved, but what we should be doing. So they see that light and not see the dotted sparks, dots of darkness in our lives. They can't exist together. One would dispel the other. We either walk in the darkness of ignorance about God or the light of knowledge about God. Look in Luke chapter 1 with me as we see Luke talking about John the Baptist. I like this. Luke chapter 1 about verse 75. It said, "And holds him righteous before him all the days of our life." Talking about John. "And thou, child, shall be," verse 76, "shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt be before the face of the Lord to prepare his way." Now watch these next three verses. "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sin." This is what John's message would be. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," as he one cried in the wilderness. And he said, "Through the tender mercies of our God," verse 78, "whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Watch now. He's talking about this one. John has come to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remissions of their sin through the tender mercy of God, our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. We know he's talking about Jesus Christ there. He's telling about this one called the day spring on high has visited us. Watch. What does he do? This one who should come that John is talking about. He says to give light to them that sit in darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Look at me just a minute. Every last one of us one day were in darkness. And God brought the light of God to our heart and manifested us about Christ. Some of us heard the name Jesus all our life and didn't know who he was. I think most of the time, I got to say, my dad and mother would never go to church with us, but they made us go to church. And I heard about Christ. I know when I was in the second or third grade, we were going to a little church that we went to. And then when we moved where we are now, we were right in the churchyard for most of our lives. And from the time that I was about 10-year-old until I was 19-year-old, I was in church. I heard about Jesus all the time, but never knew him as light. He was just a name, a person that lived, a good man, whatever. But I never understood that it was through him that light of God could be seen until the day I trusted Christ. And the amazing thing about that, I only knew the light of the gospel then. I have much more light today about who he was than it was in that day. And you know what it did? It came by knowledge. And he says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of the death to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and so forth. He goes on more. So the antidote to ignorance in God's kingdom is knowledge, spiritual knowledge. This comes to us from God through his word, by his spirit, through faith, the channel of faith. And it enlarges as God, and we listen to him. If you go back with me to Genesis chapter 3 and look down about verse 5, it's interesting. Satan sets forth that God knows good and evil. And he leads out that way to deceive. He said, verse 5, "For God knoweth that should they eat thereof." Now, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, "God knoweth that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, that's an interesting thing. Be as gods, knowing good and evil. By the way, let me say to you, God himself, being who he is, has never done evil. He never has. His son never did evil. He could not be God if he had. I've got news for you. They cannot do evil. Their holiness is different than who we are. We are created at creation of him. He existed forever. Therefore, he's always holy and righteous. So in God's omniscience, he does not know evil experimentally. He understands the nature of evil, but in his perfections, in his omniscience, he understands the nature of evil. And that's right when you think of that. But in his perfection, hear me, he does not know evil experimentally. He has never done evil. He will never do evil. But in his omniscience, he understands the nature of it. He certainly understands that which is opposite of him, though he's never experimented. And I've got news for you. He will never experiment because of his perfection. He will never experiment what evil is. If he did, we'd all be hopeless. If he can't be the standard, he can't demand the standard. And since he demands the standard, he will always be the standard. And that's the reason we'll be safe and secure through all eternity. That's what light does for us. The knowledge of God, understanding him. Satan knows evil because he is evil. He did evil. As a created part of God, he made a decision to want to experiment opposite of who God is by disobeying the God who told him what to do and not do. And then we see that moved on down to his creation here in this earth. Now, Adam and Eve knows evil also. It amazes me that Satan came and said he don't want you to know the difference between good and evil. They'd been better off if they'd never known the difference. They could only know what that's good and right and holy. So Adam and Eve gave in to Satan's manipulation and trickery to think that they'd become like God. Folks, isn't it amazing how slick and sly Satan is? They were already like God. Don't that do something for you? How could Satan deceive them into thinking they'd be like God when they were already like God? They never sinned before. But when Satan brought the idea about there's an opposite of God, not knowing what evil is, the thoughts were, could evil be better than that which is God, who is righteous and holy? Could evil be something that would be much better, that God knows about and he hides it from us, not realizing it only been enough to him when God says, today you eat there, you're going to die. That only been enough, but it's not for us with an inquisitive mind. I like what Brother Kyle said the other day. When you see a sign, don't enter, you want to go in. When you see something, don't touch, you're going to touch it. You go by a bench that says fresh paint, you'll fill up and see if it's fresh paint. We're inquisitive people, aren't we? And so when we see something like this, our minds wonder what's the opposite of them. They've seen God. They walked with him in the garden for we don't know how long. Could have been years and years. And now Satan comes with a thought, there's something God hiding from you. He's not telling you the whole story. He doesn't want you to know the difference between good and evil. He knows that, again, as I read then verse 15, chapter 3. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. A suggestion about something that they didn't know about. And would it not be thought that Satan would inspire your mind to think, hey, if God that's good and righteous and holy is all this great, surely, if I don't know what the evil side is, it must be greater. Must be greater. We forget that God says, they eat, you're going to die. We forget that as human beings, but it must be greater. And so the persuasive mind of Satan, his trickery, got them to fall. So as we look at Adam and Eve, now they're lost just like Satan is. Satan is doomed and damned. Satan is headed to the lake of fire. There's no hope for Satan. And folks, listen to me. If God doesn't do something, there's no hope for man either. Because man can never retain what he's lost because he disobeyed God. He can never bring himself back to be accepted by God in his own merit. And so now, Satan is lost, and Adam and Eve are lost, and they're both headed away from God. Some terrible things have happened. Sin has corrupted them. Sin has made them now unholy vessels. And truth that we are even ignorant of, we can't use as an excuse. Somebody say, well, you know, I'm going to stand before God one day, and if I didn't know that truth, how in the world can he ever condemn me for it? Hey, there won't be no excuse in that day. Just like there's no excuse in our day. We have to go to court for something here and we don't know the law, and all of a sudden we try to throw ourselves through an excuse, it makes no difference. If it is law and it's broken, the penalty has to be paid. And that's the way it is in God's court. Either Jesus will have paid the penalty, if not, we can't pay it. We're hopeless. And that's what light knowledge gives us in the spiritual world. In fact, many things in the physical world can show us how it works physically so we can see it spiritually through faith as God reveals these wonderful truths to us. So truth that we are ignorant of cannot protect us from Satan's deception. It didn't Adam and Eve was ignorant of what evil was, but it didn't protect them from his deception, did it? Did they not fall? Did they not die? Was not God's word true? Ignorant of what that was didn't protect Adam and Eve. And folks, being ignorant of what God says today won't protect us either. It's the light of God's word that shines into our heart. And so now they've become corrupt. We must study. Now, how do we learn this knowledge? The scripture teaches us we have a process. Turn to 2 Timothy with me just a moment. Now, first of all, we know we have to believe the gospel. Now, I'm talking to us who are saved now. We have believed the gospel. We have trusted Christ. We've been born into the family of God. The light of the gospel is shown to us. We have exercised the faith which opened up to come into our heart. So Jesus came in, who is the life of man. Now, the life of man is the life that's in Jesus Christ becomes our life, which becomes his light to this world. We have the light now of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's more to that. For this knowledge, now that I'm walking in this world with the life of God, which is the light of man in me, for us to see, as I walk around in this world, there is much more that needs to be done for that new life to manifest the light brighter. It's got to be more. It's got to be so it can be set on the, you know, on the hill and set out on the stand so it can really see, put a great brilliance of light out so people can see it more than just hid away in one's heart. How's that done? It's there because we're saved, but it's the actions of the flesh that manifests that light for people to see it in a dark world. You ever heard someone say, don't tell me what you believe, show me. I mean, if you believe something, show me you believe it. How do you do that? Let your life shine. And you do, you let your light shine, which is his light shine in us as it gets brighter. Now, how's that done? Well, notice, we're talking about this knowledge. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Didn't say read. He said study. It's an action verb. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What happens when you do that? A workman that needed not be ashamed. Why study? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So this light that's come in now, there's more to it. I say that I'm saved. But what is it in my life can manifest that to give that others can see? My words is not enough to this world to say that I'm saved. Because you got a lot of folks who are not saved say that. In fact, be honest with you, you can't tell the difference of two people, one can be lost and one can be saved, and both of them say, I'm saved, you can't tell the difference just by the words. Can you? Have I left you folks? Am I that dull? I mean, is this not important? Are you getting something about life? I don't know. Evidently, the Lord has a hard time getting us to see from within what needs to be done so it'll manifest itself outwards in a way that the world can see it, and hopefully it'll be something that will cause us to change a lot of things as far as our lives are concerned. So he says, study it to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Now look in Romans and you see what this happens. Look in Romans chapter 12 with me, and these verses will go together to give us an insight here. We study God's word and we practice God's word. Here, Paul told Timothy to study it so he could rightly divide it. And then we see in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, he said the church at Rome, what? He said, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He says it's just reasonable service, nothing out of the way, it's just an ordinary thing to be done. Then watch again, you heard me say, read this many times, be not conformed to this world. That's a practical side. Don't be fashioned to the world, but be ye transformed. That means change your nature, your function of life. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Where do you get that? Studying. Studying the word of God that you might rightly divide the word of God. Renewing your mind. Watch. that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes I wish I could really know what God's will is. Right here it tells you. These things will help you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The light of knowledge dispels the darkness of deception and ignorance. As we study this book, Satan makes it dull to us and tries to make us think, well, it's just one of those things. I've got to have something else to make it easy to read, and I'll read something else easy to read, and it's taken away from the book, so every time I read something else that's easy to read, it's leading me further from the true and living God. And over here, after a while, I get, what's the use? I don't understand it. I mean, there's so many books written now, I don't know which one's the right one. The next thing you know, you're in a maze, not really knowing what to do, because we've left the precious Word of God that He gave us to start with in the English language so we could understand what God was doing by translation. So the light of knowledge dispels the darkness and deception of ignorance. The light of truth destroys the darkness of lies and envy. Satan hates the Word of God because it's our defense. Did you know our Savior showed us in the time of trial when He had the power to zap Satan anywhere He wanted to, when He took him into the wilderness and tempted Jesus Christ? He could have zapped him anywhere He wanted to. Satan had no power over Christ. And yet every time He used the Word of God. Satan hates the Word of God. That's one of the reasons that I see so much happening to the Word of God, that he hates it. He don't care how he distorts it, as long as he does it. And when you look at that and know he fears the light. Satan fears the light of God's Word. It's the only thing that can show him who he is and what he's doing. And by the way, so does Satan's followers fear the light. And John 3, again, verse 19, 21 tells us why. Satan has no weapon against those who is light, against him who is light, and has no weapon against those who walk in that light if they study it and then they find themselves being conformed, not to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So I know this, as I look at this conflict that we're in, identifying it, I must know and we must know the difference between worldly knowledge and the knowledge of God's kingdom. In worldly knowledge, I can just live because this is where I live at. In worldly knowledge, the world, the government will make me go to school and study secular, in the secular schools to learn things about which gives me worldly knowledge. Many times to come back, that is the only thing is the God's knowledge of His Word, ladies and gentlemen. And because of that, since we don't study it and read it and do like we should or desire to know it, then we have no counteract or antidote towards that which the world brings to our hearts and our lives. And since we're creatures of gradualism, we kind of move a little bit, stay a little distance from the world, move with that world, and this light won't let us do that. And that's the reason you and I who really study this book are going to become hated worse than ever before. You're talking about Jesus Christ being hated in His day. Those who stand on this book are going to literally feel the hate of darkness because they don't like the light. And Jesus tells us why in John chapter 3. Why they don't like the light. Again, we know the difference between worldly knowledge and the knowledge of God's kingdom. Education in this world is not what we're talking about. When you and I are talking about light and darkness and education and ignorance and knowledge, most people think that you go to talk to an individual and try to win them to the Lord, and the first thing they come back, what do you think I'm stupid? You think I don't know myself? You think I don't? What are you trying to push on me? You think that I've been all this time and I don't know the difference about what church and religion is about and holiness and things like they feel the light shining and there's rebuttal to it until there is a light, until it given to that light. And so education in this world is not what we're talking about. Without spiritual enlightenment, and I'm going to close with this thought, without spiritual enlightenment of divine truth in and of Jesus Christ, all other knowledge in this world is irrelevant. Now, for this world, it's needed. But if a person gains this whole world and loses his own soul, what does he have? Not a thing. You're going to find out that God gives us a purpose when we have His light. And it's nothing like the world looks at. In fact, the world has no purpose. I learned a long time ago, folks, I must have goals to do things in this life, sure. But if my purpose is only here, whatever purpose in the secular world I have, I'll lose it one day and leave it behind. Because I'm going to die. So everything I have in this life, I leave God out. I've not really had a purpose. I've had a life here. That's about it. Now, I think people need to have goals. But I'm saying, man, wouldn't it be great if we'd have a purpose that God's will is our desire, and then our life here would be that which in turn would be to enhance what he wants us to do. And wherever we get at, thank God for it. Whatever goal we accomplish, thank God for it. Whatever in life that we get, from a pauper to a multimillionaire, thank God for it. But again, that wasn't the purpose. Are you getting what I'm saying? The purpose was God's will for my life. And then from there, you'd be blessed here and throughout all eternity in the kingdom of God, because it's the kingdom of God he's showing us for first. So our thinking has been damaged. In what way? We may have, and I'll say this again, we may have a BS. And by the way, you know, if you know me through the years, that I believe in education. I really believe that you can serve God better in this life today to be educated than you cannot be educated. Though we don't need education to serve God, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that uses us. But we do have to deal intelligent with people. So education is an important factor. But I'll say to you, and I mean this, we may have a BS degree or a master's degree or a PhD degree, but without the Lord, all we have is dark information. Because that in itself won't lead us to the light of God. The light of God comes from this book by the Holy Spirit of God. Our bodies have not been redeemed as of yet, and darkness is the absence of accurate information about God. You can spend a lifetime learning in the kingdom of darkness and never see the light of God, because this book of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ is the only way you want to ever see that. To be educated in this world and not know the Lord is only to be an educated fool, if it's me or anybody else. Psalm 14:1 said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I say two statements and I hush tonight. Books in this world are written for information. We study information to learn, to get our degrees and goals. Books are written for information about a subject towards goals in life, and they're important. By the way, if you're putting something together and there's an information, a diagram to put it together, read the diagram. Some people say, well, I don't think you ought to read. I think I know about it. I find out every time when I think I know something, I find out how big a fool I am. That's the reason they give me the diagram. By the way, even reading the diagram sometimes is hard, isn't it? I put enough bicycles together through the years. I thought I ought to be able to do it by sight. You better still read the diagram. There'll be something changed on that thing. And I find out every time. I won't ever, not too long ago, I got one of those little things you pull in the yard with things in it. I looked and I said, man, well, that's so sad. I ought to be able to put that together. And all of a sudden, I started putting it together and didn't read the diagram. I must have had a bolt in the wrong hole or something, because I broke the hole in off, went back and found out I had a bolt in the wrong hole. And I just knew it ought to fit there. I know you never did anything like that, but that's where I am. But I'm saying books are written for information. But please hear this. This book is written for transformation. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Father, thank you for this precious book. Thank you for these people coming here tonight, Lord. I pray somehow or another they've been helped. I pray somehow or another they might have been wasted their time. I pray, Father, the flesh would have been a lot more tingled if we'd had some great song service here with a rock band. And Lord, the things in life that satisfies the flesh or a comedian or something in that other than the teaching of God's word. But Lord, all of that would do nothing but satisfy the flesh. I believe what's been said here tonight through this book will satisfy the heart. And God can speak to our heart. And that light he's talking about will dispel the darkness of this world as we try to walk through it. The word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We may see where we're going and look back and see where we came from because of the wonderful leadership of the Holy Spirit of God that this world laughs at and mocks us. And dear Lord, talks about us believing in someone we can't see, and how ridiculous that is. They don't really understand. They're in a darkness of ignorance and don't even understand God is trying to reach them through the simple simplicity of the words of his word. And I pray you'd help us do that in a loving way. Help us never be arrogant, but give us that teaching ability to our last days on this earth is through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.